I was just telling Michael how nice his purse was. when you know someone your whole life, you just have to give them a hard time sometimes. All right, children, you're dismissed at Children's Church. Good morning, everyone. I don't want to forget to tell you guys that Lee Thomas will be here this Thursday at 7 p.m. We will not have Bible study on Wednesday. Okay, so no Bible study on Wednesday. Lee Thomas at 7 o'clock this Thursday. Okay, so we're going to talk about God's Word, and I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 4, and I'm going to read Hebrews 11:4 because I'm giving this series out of Hebrews. And it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." So Genesis chapter 4. So we're going to talk a lot about Cain and Abel today. And it's, the interesting thing about Abel is there's not much about him in the Bible. Not much about his what he was like, but through evidence of his faith, we see his character. Amen. So Genesis chapter 4, I'm going to start verse 1. "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. And I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 6. So this is so Abel, his character was shown through how he brought his sacrifice to the Lord. He did not think about himself. He thought about giving his best, number one, but he also knew and recognized the importance of an animal sacrifice before the Lord. He knew that there had to be some kind of blood to be shed for sacrifice. But the amazing thing is, God saw Abel's heart before the sacrifice. And so God accepted his sacrifice based on his heart. Anybody can make a sacrifice, but will it be accepted to the Lord? Amen. So Revelation chapter 6. This is so Abel, when he was murdered, his blood, it spoke to the Lord because it was innocent. Because he was murdered wrongfully, it spoke to the Lord and it grieved the Lord. He saw and he felt that. And so, Revelation chapter 6, starting at verse 9, it says, And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, and their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And we know that through the many, many centuries that since Jesus died on the cross, there have been so many martyrs of the faith. So many people have died for their faith. So, so many. And God sees those. And it says in Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God knows their hearts. He knows they gave their lives up for him. And they're with him right now. Amen. And then turn to Psalm 72. I'm going to read 13 and 14. This just goes along with that scripture, 116:15 as well. Psalm 72, 13 and 14 says, he shall spare the poor and needy and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. So God sees these things. And as I was going over this, I thought about Abel and like, you know, he didn't think that Cain would take his life. You know, he just thought, you know, I'm sure that they had their tiffs, because what brothers do not have their tiffs, you know? But I think that he trusted Cain. And so when Cain slew him, you know, I mean, just that was probably like surprised Abel. He didn't probably even defend himself because it was his brother, you know? So deaths of those who are innocent affect the Lord greatly because they are his creation. Every moment a human is conceived, that is God's spirit that he breathed into mankind, every single person. He sees each and every innocent life that is destroyed through abortion, through murder, through wars, even those who are killed by accident, like Jerry Lynn died in the fire. That was an accident. And yet God saw her, you know, he knew what was going to happen to her, and he took care of everything way beforehand. Each one affects his heart. That is why it affects our hearts so much, because we feel the heart of the Father toward his children. When someone dies, we feel that. You know, we can be like, yes, we know they're in heaven, but it doesn't mean it doesn't affect our hearts, right? Like, God was affected by the death of Abel. He was affected by that. And he went to Cain, like, why did you do this? And the amazing thing about God judged Cain, but before Cain committed murder, God spoke to him and warned him, if you don't take care of this and get this out of your heart, then you are opening the door to sin, and it's going to take over your life. And I know, you know, I think we all think that sometimes God doesn't speak to everybody, but I believe that God speaks to everyone, saved or unsaved, because God is moving them in the right direction. Is the Holy Spirit is everywhere. And sometimes we may think that God doesn't speak to people who aren't saved. You know, we get this Christian superiority of, well, God only speaks to us. But honestly, truly, God speaks to everyone, because before we were saved, wasn't God speaking to our hearts? Wasn't he pulling us to him? Wasn't he drawing us to him? Amen. So don't give up on people, because even the worst of the worst person God can speak to. Amen. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 3. And this is again about Cain and Abel. And I'm going to start at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. In other words, Cain was jealous of his brother. And, you know, we've all heard that Growing up in children's church, many of us are familiar with the story of Cain and Abel. But it's amazing how jealousy is a seed before murder. Jealousy sows hatred and bitterness, and then the fruit of it is murder. Verse 13 says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Amen. And I think, you know, it's for us as Christians, you know, it's easy for us to think, yes, I'm going to lay my life down for the Lord. You know, I'm going to give my life to the Lord, everything that I am. But for us to lay our lives down for other people, or even for people that we hate, you know, or that hate us, I'm sorry, people that hate us. I was just talking to Michael this morning about, we were talking about St. Patrick. And, you know, there's a lot of paganism that goes along with St. Patrick's Day. But the story of St. Patrick is so awesome. You know, he was kidnapped and taken to Ireland and had to serve as a slave for many years, and he escaped. But he loved the Irish so much. He loved them so much that he went back to them with the gospel and preached the gospel in Ireland for the rest of his life. That was his heart. And I was just thinking how awesome it was that he was willing to go to people who hated him. And I know that is what it's like for a lot of Christians all around the world. There are Christians who grow up in Muslim homes and they know that their family hates them, and many have to run away because their family will kill them. But then they go back to their families because they want to see them serve the Lord. Just like Tassada, right now he's fighting for his life in Jordan because he fell and he hit his head. I don't know if you guys heard me talk about him. Tassada, he was a really bad guy, and he served Yasser Arafat, and then he got saved. His story has been on CBN. Well, his ministry is actually here, because when he came over to America, he settled in this area. So his daughter and their ministry is in Overland Park. He raised his family in Raytown, which I think is just so neat. So when you read his book, it's neat because he's talking about all of these places, you know. But he got saved here, and it was so radical, and it just, he got saved like the same radical kind of saved that Pastor got saved. Like when he got saved, he like jumped up in the air and started spinning. And I was like, well, that's so cool. That's exactly what happened to Pastor. And he just like, just radical deliverance in his life. And now because he loves the Lord, he wants his people in the Middle East, all of his people, to come to the Lord. So he, when October 7th happened, started going back and forth and being a liaison between Gazans and Israel. So his ministry is called Hope, it's Peace Foundation, Hope Foundation, something like that. I can't remember. It's two different names. He ministers to those in Gaza, and he ministers to those in Israel, and he is an in-between person because he loves, and it's just incredible, someone who hated the Jews now loves the Jews. And his family, they're not Christians. They don't love the Lord, but he loves the Lord, and he wants them to get saved. And so he's taking the gospel back to his family, risking his life. And just a few weeks ago, he fell and broke his leg. And then when he was, and he's older, he's 75. So, you know, things don't work as well as they used to. He was at home recovering after his surgery, and he fell and hit his head. And he ended up in the emergency room. And, you know, hospitals over there are a lot different from hospitals over here. So you had to pay before you get treatment. It's not like here, you know, I think we take for granted how good we have it in America. You have to pay. If there's going to be a surgery, they don't just do the surgery. You have to pay them to get the surgery. So he's over there fighting for his life, and they're raising funds to pay for, because obviously he has insurance here, but how is he going to pay for it over there? You know, like that, those are the little things you don't think about. It, when you're a missionary or you're serving the Lord, you give up a lot of things for the Lord. You give up a lot of your comfortable lives, you know? So anyway, if you think about him, please pray for him, so that he recovers quickly. It's been just kind of a tense time for his family right now, and they just really need prayer. His children live here, and his son is a worship pastor in a really famous church in Kansas that I can't remember the name of, even though it's famous. If the name comes to me, I'll share it with you. Anyway, that's the legacy that you leave when you choose to serve the Lord, even if you have to give your life. His children are serving the Lord. Amen. Isn't that incredible? And his grandchildren. Okay, so would you turn Exodus chapter 24? So I want to go back to talking about how powerful the blood is, because blood speaks. Amen. So Exodus 24, and I'm going to start, actually, I'm going to start at verse 1, but I'm going to read this out of the Amplified to verse 8. So just try to follow along. It says, "Then God said to Moses, 'Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's older sons, and 70 of Israel's elders, and you shall worship at a safe distance. Moses alone shall approach the Lord, but the others shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him.' Then Moses came and told the people everything that the Lord had said and all the ordinances. And all the people answered with one voice, 'Everything the Lord has said, we will do.'" And this is really, really important, okay? So Moses told everything that the Lord had said, all the ordinances, and the people answered with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he got up early in the morning and built an altar for worship at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars, memorial stones, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in large basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it aloud to the people, and they said, 'Everything that the Lord has said, we will do, and we will be obedient.'" So for the second time, they together declare that they will do what God has said. And then verse 8, "So Moses took the blood which had been placed in the large basins and sprinkled it on the people and said, 'Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words.'" So the word was spoken, the people agreed, and the blood sealed the covenant between God and the people. And why is that awesome? Because we are of the new covenant. Because Jesus shed his blood on the cross. When we agree with God's word, then we take the blood of Jesus Christ and we apply it to our lives, and his word is covenanted to us. We receive and partake of his covenant. That means every word that God has spoken, when we believe in his word by faith, it is possible for us. Every single word. Amen. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." And then Revelation 12:11 says, "They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." And pardon me, I need to drink real quick. And then Matthew 26:28, it talks about Jesus' blood was shed for the remission of sins. Amen. So remission comes from the Greek word ephesis. It means release, pardon, cancellation of debt, forgiveness of sins. In other verses of the Bible, it is used to signify complete forgiveness and removal of sins, meaning those are no longer a part of us. And that's like in 1 John, it says, no longer are we under sin. No longer. Do we still sin? Yes, but it doesn't rule us unless we let it rule our lives. If we do not take Jesus's blood and believe in his sacrifice, then the power of the blood does not apply to our lives. We are not in agreement with the power of his word. Amen. We all know the song, The Power of His Blood. We know that, we hear that, and we sing it. But do we believe how powerful God, Jesus, shed his blood for us? Do we believe how powerful that is for us? That truly each and every sin that we've ever committed, it doesn't matter if it's a little sin or a big sin, Jesus paid the sacrifice for all sin. All sin. Every single one. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. It's just awesome and powerful to think about Jesus choosing, sorry, yeah, still a little dry from this week. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus, he loves and cares about us, right?
Sure.
So sorry. I'm taking cough drop real quick. Pardon me. Mandy and I have both been kind of still coughing from having dry throats and everything. So, but we're healed. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus, he loves and he cares about us. Amen. He knows the sin that we all struggle with. He knows that some of us struggle with little things that almost seem overpowering. Okay. And he knows that some of us are denying some sins in our lives. Oh gosh, excuse me. But he doesn't care about the sin. He cares about us. Amen. Tartar Conlon this week shared in his daily devotional, you know, sometimes Michael will play those. Well, this week he talked about, why do I do this, was the title of his devotion. And it was really incredible because he talked about, why does he still do what he does? Why does he still minister? Why does he still preach and reach out to people? And he said, over the years, he's ministered to different pastors and leaders and in the body of Christ. And he said, it's really, really hard sometimes to watch when they fall away, when they get overdone, when they get overwhelmed, when they feel like they're not doing anything good anymore. And he said, it's really hard to see that, you know, because when you're in that position, you know, sometimes your focus can get off of the true purpose of why you are a Christian in the first place. God's greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's just as strong. And Carter Conlon was talking about, you know, what we do sometimes as Christians is we start out in faith. We love the Lord. We love the ministry. We love what we do. We love the people. But then as time goes on, we start looking at the works and the things that we have to do all the time, and all of the business side of things. Excuse me. And what happens is we lose our love for each other. We lose, as those in authority, we can lose our love for the people. And when you do that, what happens is you start to not want to serve and love others. You start to fall away from God's plan and purpose for your life. Because our first and foremost is loving the Lord. But if we can't love our brothers and sisters, then we can't love the Lord. And so we lose focus on what his calling and his purpose is for our lives. Have you ever noticed how families, at first it seems like everything is great, you know, the husband and wife, they get married and they have children, and then one of them falls out of love with the other one. Have you ever seen this happen? You know, and that's when their relationship ends. Maybe they fall in love with somebody else. Maybe they fall in love with the wrong thing. And it's really sad. And I am so encouraged, you know, by families who stick together, even in those hard times, because sometimes you have to weather the storm that the devil puts in your life so that you can see the blessings that are beyond that storm. Amen. And I just want to encourage you, don't stop loving each other. Don't let the things of this world take your attention away from what God's purpose is in your life. Because each and every one of you is important to Him. And because you are important to God, we should all be important to each other. You know, when you guys walk in the door, we love seeing you. When we see you outside of the church, we love seeing you. It is a pleasure to us to see God's people. Amen. Just to have a conversation, all of us together, when we're in the fellowship hall and we're talking, you know, sometimes it's quiet, sometimes it's really loud, depending on how many kids we have. But regardless, it is so good to hear that fellowship and that love of each other. And God is delighted in that. So I just want to encourage you, don't give up on love. Amen. Don't give up on God's love for you and your love for the brethren. Amen. And go ahead and stand and we'll pray. Sorry, my voice is giving out today. Apologize. The Lord is my healer. I believe that thoroughly. Thank you, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your blood. God, we choose to believe in your word and we agree with what your word says, God, that you are our salvation, our caretaker, our healer. God, we trust in you for all of those things. God, we thank you that you are our provider. God, you know every single thing that we're going to face in our life. God, you know the storms that are going to happen. You know the heartaches that we're going to face, but you also know the blessings and the joy that you have for us, Father. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed on you. In Jesus' name, not on the things of this world, not on the heartaches, not on the pain, not on the bitterness. But Lord, help us to let all that go so we can walk in love. So that we can experience your presence, not only with you, but between us as the body of Christ. God, we thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless each and every one of these people here, God, as they go back to work this week, as they spend time with their families today, Lord. We just pray, God, a special blessing upon them, God. Reveal to them your plan and your purpose for their lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.